John Fox's The Acts and Monuments, also known as the Book of Martyrs. This is dated 1583. Prefix. To the right, virtuous, most excellent noble princesses, Queen Elizabeth, our dread lady, by the grace of God, Queen of England, France, and Ireland, defender of Christ's faith and gospel, and principal governor both of the realm and also over the said Church of England and Ireland, under Christ the supreme head of the same, etc. John Fox, her humble servant, wishes daily increase of God's Holy Spirit and grace, with long reign, perfect health, and joyful peace, to govern his flock committed to her charge, to the example of all good princes, the comfort of his church, and glory of his blessed name. Christ, the Prince of all princes, who hath placed you in your throne of majesty, under him to govern the church and realm of England, give your royal highnesses long to sit and many years to reign over us, in all flourishing happiness, to his gracious pleasure and long-lasting joy of all your subjects. Amen. When I first presented these acts and monuments unto your majesty, most dear sovereign Queen Elizabeth, our peaceful Salem, which your majesty's rare clemency received in such gentle part, I well hope that these my travails in this kind of writing had been well at an end, whereby I might have returned my studies again to other pursuits after mine own desire, more fitted than to write histories, especially in the English tongue. But certain evil-disposed persons of intemperate tongues, adversaries to good proceedings, would not suffer me so to rest, fuming and fretting, and raising up some miserable exclamations at the first appearing of this book, as was wonderful to hear. A man who would have thought Christ to have been newborn again, and that Herod in the city of Jerusalem had been in an uproar, such boastering and stirring was then against that poor book through all quarters of England, even to the gates of Lorraine, so that no English papist, almost to all the realm, thought himself a perfect Catholic unless he had cast out some word or other to give that book a blow. Whereupon, considering with myself what should move them thus to rage, first I began with more circumspect diligence to overlook again that I had done. In searching whereof, I found the fault both what it was and where it lay, which was indeed not so much in the book itself, to say the truth, as in another privy mystery and working of some, of whom Jonas, and it's spelled A-U-E-N-T-I-N-U-S, shall tell us in his own words and show us who they be. This was in Latin translated. To whom, he says, to hear the things that they do so, a sense of shame is, no one who does are ashamed of what they had heard. There is nothing to spit in the work where there is no need in this case is, they are reverent, end of translation, etc., who being ashamed be like to hear their worthy stratagems, like to come to light, sought by what means they might the stopping of the same, and because they could not work it per branchcom secular by public authority, the Lord of Heaven long preserve your noble majesty. They renewed again an old wanton practice of theirs, doing in like sort herein, as they did sometimes with the Holy Bible in the days of your renowned father of famous memory, King Henry the Eighth, who, when they neither by magnificent reason could gain stand the matter contained in the book, nor yet abide the coming out thereof, then sought they, by a subtle devised train, to deprive the translation, notes and prologues thereof, bearing the king in hand in the epistle dedicatory to the queen's majesty, all the people that there was in it 1,000 lies, and I cannot tell how many more. Not that there were such lies in it in very deed, but because the coming of that book should not betray their lying falsehoods. Therefore they thought best to begin first to make exceptions themselves against it, plain in their stage, like as P-H-O-R-M-I-O did in the Ode Comedy, who being in all the fault himself, began first to quarrel with D-E-M-I-P-H-O. When Demifel rather had good right to lay for mile by the heels. With like facing brags, these Catholic P-H-O-R-M-I-O-N-E-S think now to dash out all good books, and amongst others also these monuments of martyrs, which godly martyrs, as they could not abide being alive, so neither can they now suffer their memories to live after their death, lest the acts of them being known might bring perhaps their wicked acts and cruel murders to destation, and therefore spurn they so vehemently against this book of histories with all kind of contumelies and pores, railings and wonderings upon it, much like as I have heard of a company of thieves, who in robbing a certain true man by the highway side, when they had found a piece of gold or two about him, more than he would be acknowledged of, they cried out of the falsehood of the world, murmurings and complainings what little truth was to be found in men. Even so these men deal also with me, for when they themselves altogether delight in untruths, and have replenished the whole church of Christ with vain fables, lying miracles, false visions, miserable errors, contained in the Missiles and Portus summaries, and also know to tell in all their saints' lies and festivals, as now also know great truths in our Lorraine's books, etc., yet notwithstanding, as though they were a people of much truth, and that the world did not perceive them, they pretend to false and zeal of great virtue. And as though there were no histories, evils in all the world corrupt, but only this history of acts and monuments, with tragical voices they exclaim and wonder upon it, sparing no cost of hyperbolical phrases to make it appear as full of lies and lines, etc., much after the like sort of imprudences of Sophilers, S-O-P-H-I-S-T-E-R-S, used sometimes in their sophomies to do, and sometimes is used also in rhetoric, that when an argument cometh against them, which they cannot well resolve indeed, they have a rule to shift of the matter, with stout words and tragical admirations, whereby to dash the opponent out of countenance, bearing the hearers in hand, the same to be the weakest and slanderous argument that ever was heard, not worthy to be answered, but utterly to be hissed out of the schools. With like sophistication, these also flare with me, who, when they neither can abide to hear their own doings declared, nor yet deny the same, which they hear to be true for three or four escapes in the book committed, and yet some of them in the said book amended, they neither reading the whole nor rightly understanding that they read, in sway and malign so pursuely the setting thereof, out thereof, as though neither any word in all that story were true, nor any other story false in all the world besides. And yet, in accusing these my accusers, I do not so excuse myself, nor defend my book, as though nothing in it were so sponged or amended. Therefore I have taken these pains, and reiterated my labors in travailing out the story again, doing herein it as Penlew did with her web, untwisting that she had done before, or as builders do sometimes, which build and take down again, either to dispose the fashion or to make the foundation larger. So, in recognizing this history, I have employed a little more labor, partly to enlarge the argument, which I took in hand, partly also to assuage, whether by any painstaking I might pacify the stomachs or satisfy the judgments of these importunate quarrelers, which nevertheless I fear I shall not do when I have done all I can. For well I know that all the heads of this hissing hydra will never be cut off, though I were as strong as Hercules. And if Apelles, the skillful painter, when he had bestowed all his cunning upon a piece of work, which no good artificer would or could greatly reprove, yet was not without some controlling suitor, which took upon him ultra crepidum, which more may I look for the like in these controlling days. Nevertheless, committing the success thereof unto the Lord, I have adventured again upon this story of the church, and have spent not only my pains, but also almost my health therein, to bring it to this, which now being finished, like as before I did, so again I exhibit and present the same unto your princely majesty, blessing my Lord my God with all my heart, first for this liberty of peace and time, which through your peaceable government he hath lent unto us for the gathering both of this and other like books, tractations and monuments requisite to the behoof of his church, which hitherto by inquisition of time could not be contributed to any king's reigns such the conquest before like Alcan's days of yours. Secondly, as we are all bound with public voices to magnify our Lord for this happy preservation of your royal estate, so privily for mine own part, I also acknowledge myself bound to my God and to my Savior, who so graciously in such weak health hath lent me time both to finish this work and also to offer the second dedication thereof to your majesty, desiring the same to accept and worth the donation thereof, if not for the worthiness of the thing given, yet as a testification of the bound service and good will of one, which by this he here presenteth, declareth what he would, if he had better to give. And though the story be written in the popular tongue, serveth not so greatly for your own to peculiar reading, nor for such as be learned, yet I shall desire both you and them to consider in it the necessity of the ignorant flock of Christ committed to your government in this realm of England, who, as they have been long led in ignorancy and wrapped in blindness for a lack, especially in God's word, and partly also for wanting of the light of history, pity I thought that that should such be helped, their ignorancy relieved, and simplicity instructed. I considered they were the flock of Christ and your subjects, belonging to your account and charge, brought by the same price and having our dear souls to the Lord as other. And though they be but simple and unlearned, yet not unapt to be taught if they were applied. Furthermore, what inconveniency growth of ignorance where knowledge lacketh, but I considered and experienced daily, teacheth. And therefore, hearing the virtuous inclination of your majesty with a prudent care and zeal full of solicitude you have, minding speedily, I trust, to furnish all quarters and countries of this your realm with the voice of Christ's gospel and faithful preaching of his word. I thought also not unprofitable by joining into your godly proceeding to the office of the ministry, the knowledge also of ecclesiastical history, which in my mind ought not to be separate from the same, that like as by the one the people may learn the rules and precepts of the doctrine, so by the other they may have examples of God's mighty work in His church, so the confirmation of the faith and edification of Christian life. For as we see what light and profit cometh to the church by the histories of old time set forth of the judges, kings, Maccabees, and the Acts of the Apostles after Christ's time, so likewise may it be redound to no small use in the church to know the acts of Christ's martyrs now since the time of the Apostles. Besides other manifold examples and experiments of God's great mercy and judgments in preserving His church and overthrowing tyrants, in confounding pride, in altering states and kingdoms, in conserving religion against error and detestation, in relieving the godly and bridling the wicked, in losing and tying up again by of Satan the disturber of the common wills, in punishing transgressions as well against the first table as the second, wherein is to be seen idolatry punished, blasphemy plagued, contempts of God's holy name and religion revenged, murder with murder rewarded, adulterers and wedlock breakers destroyed, penuries, extortions, covetous oppression, and fraudulent counsels come to naught, with other excellent works of the Lord, the observing and noting the whereof in history, minister to the readers thereof wholesome admiration of life, with experience and wisdom both to know God and His works, and to work the thing that is godly, specially to seek unto the Son of God for the salutation, and in His faith only to find that they seek for, and in no other means, the continuance and consistency of which faith the Lord of His grace and goodness grant to your noble majesty and to His whole beloved church and all the members of the same to everlasting life. Amen. To the true and faithful congregation of Christ's universal church with all and singular members thereof, wheresoever congregated or dispersed through the realm of England, a protestantation or petition of the author, wishing to the same abundancy of all peace and tranquility, with the speedy coming of Christ the Spouse to make an end of all mortal miseries. Solomon, the peaceable prince of Israel, as we read in the 3rd of Kings, after he had finished the building of the Lord's temple, which he had 7 years in hand, made his petition to the Lord with all that should pray in said temple or turn their face towards it. And his request was granted, the Lord answering him, as we read in the said book, chapter 6, I have heard, saith he, thy prayer, and have sanctified this place, etc. Albeit the infinite majesty of God is not to be compassed in any material walls, yet it is so pleased His goodness to respect this prayer of the king, that not only He promised to hear them which there prayed, but also replenish the same with His own glory. For so we read again in the book aforesaid, and they were not able to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Upon like trust in God's gracious goodness, if I, sinful wretch, not comparing with the building of that temple, but following the zeal of the builder, might either be so bold to ask, or so happy to speed, after my 7 years travailed, about this ecclesiastical history, most humbly would crave of Almighty God to bestow His goodness upon the same, that as the prayers of them which prayed in the outward temple were heard, so all true disposed minds which shall resort to the reading of this present history, containing the acts of God's holy martyrs and monument of His church, may be example of their life, faith, and doctrine, receive some such spiritual fruit to their souls through the operation of His grace, that it may be to the advancement of His glory and profit of His church, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. But as it happened in that temple of Solomon, that all which came thither came not to pray, but many to prat, some to glaze, and some news, some others to talk and walk, some to buy and sell, some to carp and find fault, and finally some also at the last to destroy and pluck down, as they did indeed. For what is in this world so strong, but it will be impenetrable? What so perfect, but it will be abused? So true, that it will not be contrary, or so circumspectly done, wherein raggling the on will set on his tooth? Even so neither do I look for any other in this present history, but that amongst many well-disposed readers, some wasp nest or other will be stirred up to buzz about my ears. Such a dangerous thing it is nowadays to write or do any good, but either by flattering a man must offend the godly, or by true speaking procure hatred from the wicked. Of such stinging wasps and buzzing drones I had sufficient trial in my former edition before, who, if they had found in my book any just cause to carp, or upon any true zeal of truth, had proceeded against the untruths of my story and had brought just proofs for the same, I could have right well abided. But God forbid, but that faults, wheresoever they be, should be detected and accused. And therefore accusers in a commonwealth after my mind do serve to no small stead. But then such accusers must beware they play not the dog, of whom Cicero in his oration speaketh, which being set in Capileo, Capitolio, to fray away thieves by night, left the thieves and fell to back at the true men walking in the day. Where two faults be, there to bay and pay is not amiss, but to carp where no cause is, to spy in other straws, and to leap over their own blocks, to swallow camels and to strain gnats, to oppose truth with lies and to set up lies for truth, to blaspheme the dear martyrs of Christ and to canonize for saints whom scriptures would scarce allow for good subjects, that is intolerable. Such baracking cures, if they were well served, would be made a while to stoop. But with these brawling spirits I intend not at this time much to wrestle. Wherefore, to leave them a while, till further leisure serve me to attend upon them, thus much I thought. In the mean season, by the way of protestation or petition, to write unto you both in general or in particular, the true members and faithful congregation of Christ Church, wheresoever either congregated together, dispersed through the whole realm of England, that for as much as all the seeking of these adversaries is to do what they can by discrediting of this history with slanders and sinister surmises, how to withdraw the readers from it. This therefore shall be in few words to premonition or in desire of all and singular of you, all well-minded lovers and partakers of Christ's gospel, not to suffer yourselves to be deceived with the big brats and hyperbolical speeches of those slandering tongues, whatsoever they have or shall hereafter exclaim against the same. But indifferently stain your judgment till truth be tried, you will first pursue and then refuse, measuring the entrants of this history, not by the scurrying up of their hundreds and thousands of lives which they have given out, but wisely weighing the purpose of their doings according as you find, and so to judge of the whole matter. To read my book, I allure neither one or other. Every man, as he seeth, causes to like as he list. If any shall think his labor too much in reading this history, his choice is for either to read this or any other that he more minded. And if the fruit therein shall recompense the reader's travel and travail, then would I wish no man so light-eared or carried away for any sinister clamber of adversaries, who many times deprave good things, nor for the faults they find, but therefore find faults because they would deprave. As for me in my history, as my will was so to profit all and displease none, so if my skill in any part wanted to will, yet hath my purpose been simple and certain that cause no less urgent also, which moved me to take this enterprise at hand. For first to see the simple flocks of Christ, especially the unlearned sort, or miserably abused and all for ignorance of history, not knowing the course of times, and true descent of the church, it pitied me that part of diligency so long to have been unsupplied in this my country, Church of England, again considering the multitude of chronicles and story writers both in England and out of England, of whom the most part have been either monks or clients to the See of Rome, it grieved me to behold how partially they handled their stories, whose painful travail abet I cannot but commend in committing diverse things to writing, not unfruitful to be known or unpleasant to be read, yet it limited me to see in their monuments the principal points which chiefly concern the state of Christ Church and were most necessary of all Christian people to be known, either altogether permitted, or if any mention thereof were asserted, yet were all things drawn to the honor especially of the Church of Rome, or else in favor of their own sect of religion, whereby the vulgar sort, hearing and reading in their writings no other church mentioned or magnified, but only the church which here flourished in this world in riches and jollity, were drawn also to the same persuasion to think no other church to have stand in all the earth but only the Church of Rome. In the number of this sort of writers, besides our monks of England, for every monastery almost had his chronologer, I might also cite both Italian and other country authors, as Platini, P-L-A-T-I-N-A, Sabellius, S-A-B-E-L-L-I-C-U-S, N-A-U-C-L-E-R-U-S, Martinius, Antonius, Vincicus, V-I-N-C-E-M-T-A-U-S, O-N-U-P-H-R-I-U-S, L-A-Z-I-A-R-D-U-S, G-E-O-R-G-I-U-S, L-I-L-I-U-S, P-O-L-I-D, V-I-R-G-I-L-I-U-S, with many more who, taking upon them to intermeddle with the matters of the church, although in part they express some truth, in matters concerning the bishops and see of Rome, yet in suppressing in other part they play with us, as Ananias and Sapphira did with their money, or as Apelles did in Pini, who, painting the one half of Venice coming out of the sea, left the other half imperfect. So, these writers, while they show us one half of the B of Rome, the other half of him they leave imperfect and utterly untold. For as they paint him out on the one part glistering in wealth and glory, in showing what succession the popes had from the chair of St. Peter when they first began, and how long they sat, what churches and what famous buildings they erected, how far their possessions reached, what laws they made, what councils they called, what honor they received as kings and emperors, what princes and countries they brought under their authority, with other like stratagems of great pomp and royalty. So on the other side, what vices these popes brought with them to their seat, what abominations they practiced, what superstitions they maintained, what idolatry they procured, what wicked doctrine they defended contrary to the express word of God, to what heresies they fell, into what delusion of sects they cut the unity of Christian religion, how some practiced by simony, S-I-M-O-N-Y, some of N-E-C-R-O-M-A-N-C-Y, and sorcery, some by poisoning, some indenting with the devil, to come by their papacy, what hypocrisy was in their lives, what corruption in their doctrine, what wars they raised, what bloodshed they caused, what treachery they traversed against their lords and emperors, imprisoning some, betraying some of the TEMPLARYES and SARACES, in bringing other under their feet, also in beheading some, as they did with Fredericus and Conradius, Conradinus, the heirs and offspring of the house of Fredericus, Barbaroba, in 1269. Furthermore, how mighty judgments of the godly learned from time to time have ever repugnant against their error, etc. Of these and a thousand other more, not one word has been touched, but all kept as under Benedict in AURICULER confession. This partial dealing and corrupt handling of histories, when I considered, I thought with myself nothing more lacking in the Church than a full and complete history, while being faithfully collected out of all our monastery writers and written monuments, should contain neither every vain written fable, for that would be too much, nor yet leave out anything necessary, for that would be too little. But with a moderate discretion, taking the best of every one, should both ease the labor of the reader from turning over such a number of writers, and also should open the plain truth of times, lying long hid in obscure darkness of antiquity, whereby all studious readers, beholding as in a glass the state, course, and alteration of religion, decay of doctrine, and the controversies of the Church, might discern the battle between antiquity and novelty. For if the things which be first, after the rule of Tertullian, Tertullian, are to be preferred before those that be latter, then is the reading of histories much necessary in the Church to know what went before and what followed after. And therefore, not without cause, Historia in old authors is called the witness of time, the light of virility, the life of memory, teacher of life, ensurer of antiquity, etc. Without the knowledge whereof, man's life is blind, and so may fall into any kind of error, as by manifest experience we have to see in those desolate later times of the Church, when as the Bishop of Rome, under color of antiquity, have turned truth into heresy and brought such new found disguises of strange doctrine and religion, as in the former age of the Church were never heard of before, and all through the ignorance of times and for lack of true history. For I say the truth, if times had been well searched, or if they which wrote histories had without partiality gone upright between God and Baal, halting on neither side, it might well have been found the most part of all this Catholic corruption, including the Church by the bishops of Rome, as transubstantiation, libation, and adoration of the sacraments, articular confession, forced vows of priests not to marry, veneration of images, private and satisfactory masses, the order of Gregory's Mass now used, usage of authority, and summa potestas of the See of Rome, with all the root of their ceremonies and wiedes of superstition, overgrowing now the Church, all these I say to be nothing, lately coined in the minute of Rome, without any stamp of antiquity, as by reading of this present history shall sufficiently, I trust, appear. Which history, therefore, I have taken in hand, that as other story writers heretofore have employed their travail to magnify the Church of Rome, so in this history might appear to all Christian readers the image of both churches, as well of the one as of the other, especially of the poor, oppressed, and persecuted Church of Christ, which persecuted church, though it had been of long season trodden underfoot by enemies, neglected in the world, nor regarded in history, and almost scarce visible or known by worldly eyes, yet hath it been the true church only of God, wherein he hath mightily wrought there hitherto to preserve the same in all extreme distresses, continually stirring up from time to time faithful ministers by whom always hath been kept some sparkle of his true doctrine and religion. Now, for as much as the true church of God goes not lightly alone, but is accompanied with some other church or chaplain of the devil to deface and malign the same necessary, it is therefore the difference between them to be seen and the distance of the right church to be described from the apostle time, which hitherto in most part of histories hath been lacking, partly for fear that men durst not, partly for ignorancy that men could not discern rightly between one and the other, who beholding the church of Rome to be so visible and glorious in the eyes of the world, so shining in outward beauty, to bear such a port, to carry such a train and multitude, and to stand in such his authority, supposed the same to be only the right Catholic mother, the other because it was not so visibly known in the world, that thought therefore it could not be the true church of Christ, wherein they were far deceased. For although the right church of God be not so invisible in the world, but none can see it, yet neither is it so visible again that every worldly eye may perceive it. For likely as in the nature of truth, so is the proper condition of the true church, that commonly none seeth it, but such only as be the members and partakers thereof. And therefore they which require that God's holy church should be evident and visible to the whole world seem to define the great synagogue of the world rather than the true spiritual church of God. In Christ's time, who would have thought but the congregations and councils of the Pharisees had been the right church, and yet had Christ another church in earth besides that, which abet it was not so manifest in the sight of the world, yet it was the only true church in the sight of God. On this church meant Christ speaking of the temple, which he would raise up again the third day. And yet after that the Lord was risen, he showed not himself to the world, but only to his elect, which were but few. The same church after that increased, multiplied mightily among the Jews. Yet had not the Jews eyes to see God's church, but did persecute it till at length all their whole nation was destroyed. After the Jews, then came the heathen emperors of Rome, who, having the whole power of the world in their hands, did what the world could do to extinguish the name and the church of Christ, whose violence continued the space of 300 years, all which while the true church of Christ was not greatly in sight of the world, but rather was abhorred everywhere, and yet notwithstanding the same small seely flock, so despised in the world, the Lord highly regarded and mightily preserved. For although many then of the Christians did suffer death, yet was their death neither loss to them nor detriment to the church, but the more they suffered, the more their blood increased. In the time of these emperors, God raised up then in this realm of Britain divers worthy teachers and witnesses, as Elnanus, Medunus, Meltiuianus, Amphibolus, Albanus, Aaron, Julius, and other more, in whose time the doctrine of faith without men's tradition was sincerely preached. After their death and martyrdom, it pleased the Lord to provide a general quietness to his church, whereby the number of his flock began more to increase. In this age, then followed here in the said land of Britain, Fastidus, it's Fastidius, Niuianus, Patricius, Bacchiarius, Dubricius, Congellus, Gernus, Helmotus, David, Daniel, Samson, Elnodugue, Asaphus, Gildas, Heulanus, Elbodus, Diotheus, Samuel, Niuius, and a great sort more, which governed the Church of Britain by Christian doctrine, a long season about the city, civil governors, for the time, were then dissolved and careless, as Gildas very sharply doth lay to their charge, and so at length were subdued by the Saxons. All this while, about the space of 400 years, religion remained in Britain uncorrupt, and the word of Christ truly preached, till about the coming of Augustine, and of his companion from Rome, many of the said Britain preachers were slain by the Saxons. After that began Christian faith to enter and spring among the Saxons, after a certain Romish sort, yet notwithstanding somewhat more tolerable, them were the times which after followed, although the diligent industry of some goodly teachers which then lived among them, as Aidamnus, Finianus, Coleman, Archbishop of York, Bedad, John of Beverley, Alcimus, that's Alcimus, Noetus, Hucharius, Serlo, Achardus, Eardus, Alexander Nickham, Negellus, Fenallus, Alfricus, Sygeferthus, and such other, who, though they erred in some few things, yet neither so grossly nor so greatly to be complained of in respect of the abuses that followed. For as yet, all this while, the errors of transubstantiation and libation and the acuticular confession was not crept in for a public doctrine in Christian church, as by their own Saxon sermon made by Aelfricus and set out in the second volume of his present history, may appear, page 1114, during the which meantime, although the bishops of Rome were here in some reverency with the clergy, had they nothing as yet to do in setting laws such in matters of the Church of England, but that only appertained to the kings and governors of the land, as in this story to be seen, page 754. And thus the Church of Rome about it began then to decline at pace from God. Yet during all this, while it remained hitherto in some reasonable order, till at length after that the said bishops began to shoot up in the world through the liberties of the good princes, and especially by Mathilda, a noble duchess of
Italy, who at her death made the Pope heir of all her lands and endued his see with great revenues. Then riches begot ambition, and ambition destroyed religion, so that all came to ruin. Out of this corruption sprang forth here in England, as did in other places more, an old Romish kind of monarchy, worse than the other before, being much more drowned in superstition and ceremonies, which was about the year of our Lord, 980. Of this swarm was Egbertus, A-I-G-E-L-B-E-R-T, Egwine, Boniface, Wilfredi, Agathon, James, Romani, C-E-D-D-A, Dunstan, Oswald, A-T-H-E-L-W-O-L-D, A-T-H-E-L-W-I-N-E, Duke of E-A-S-T-A-N-G-L-E-S, L-A-N-F-R-A-N-C-K-E, A-N-S-E-L-M-E, and such other. And yet in this time also, through God's providence, the church lacked not some of better knowledge and in judgment to weigh with the darkness of those days, for though King Egbert and Edward, his base son, being seduced by Dunstan, Oswald, that's O-S-W-O-L-D, and other monkish clerks, was then a great author and facultor of much superstition, erecting as many monasteries as were at Sundays in the years. Yet, notwithstanding, this continued not long, for as soon after the death of Egbert came King E-T-H-E-L-R-E-D-E, and Queen E-L-F-T-H-R-E-D, his mother, with A-L-F-E-R-U-S, Duke of Mercyland, and other peers and nobles of the realm, who displaced the monks again and restored the martyred priests, Mary priests, to their old possession and livings. Moreover, after that followed also the Danes, which overthrew these monkish foundations as fast as King Edward had set them up before. And thus hitherto strove the condition of a true Christian church, albeit not without some repugnancies and difficulties, yet in some mean state of truth and virility all the time of Pope Hildebrand, called Gregory the Seventh, which was near about the year 1080, and of Pope Innocent the Third in the year 1215, by whom altogether was turned upside down, all order broken, discipline dissolved, two doctrines defaced, Christian faith extinguished, instead whereof was set up preaching of men's decrees, dreams, and idle traditions. And whereas before truth was free to be disputed among learned men, now liberties was turned into law, arguments into authority. Whatsoever the Bishop of Rome denounced, that stood for an oracle of all men to be received without oppression or contradiction. Whatsoever was contrary, in so facto it was heresy, to be punished with fag and flaming fire. Then began the sincere faith of this English church, which held out so long to quail. Then was the clergy's sunshine of God's word overshadowed with mist and darkness, appearing like sackcloth to the people, which never could understand that they read, nor yet permitted to read that they could not understand. In those miserable days, the true visible church began now to shrink and keep in for fear, so upstart a new sort of players to furnish the stage as scholar doctrines, canisties, that's C-A-N-O-N-I-S-T-E-S, and four orders of friars, besides order M-O-N-A-S-T-I-C-A-L-L, sects and fraternities of infinite variety, whichever since have kept such a stir in the church that none of them almost this root, neither Caesar, king, or subject. What they defined stood, what they approved was Catholic, what they condemned was heresy. Whomsoever they accused, none almost could save. And thus have these hitherto continued, or reigned rather in the church, the space now of 400 years in an odd. During which space, the true church of Christ, although it does not openly appear in the face of the world, oppressed by tyranny, neither was it so invisible or unknown, but by the providence of God, some remnant always remained from time to time, which not only showed secret good affections to sincere doctrine, but also strove in open defense of truth against the disordered church of Rome.
In which catalog, first to predetermine B-A-R-T-H-U-A-M-U-S and B-A-R-E-N-G-A-R-I-U-S, which were before Pope Innocent III, a learned multitude of sufficient witnesses here might be produced, whose names neither are obscure nor doctrine unknown, as Jachim, Abbot of Calabri, Almericus, a learned bishop, who was judged an heretic for holding against an image at the time of the said Innocents. Because the martyrs of Alsatia, of whom we read 100 to be burned by the said Innocents in one day, as reads Hermanus, and then Mutius, add likewise to these Waldenses, or Albigenses, which to a great number segregated themselves from the Church of Rome. To this number also belonged Reymundus, Earl of Tholose, Marsilius, Patiuius. Footnote. Gulielmus de S period, Amore period. Simon Tornacensis, Ardius de Noua Villa, and then Joannes. Semeca, besides divers other preachers in Sueuia, standing against the Pope, the year 1240. Ex Cranz, period. Laurentius, Anglicus, a master of Paris, year 1260. Petrus Jonas, a Mennonite, who was burned after his death, year 1290. Robicus Gallius, a Dominican friar, year 1291. Robert Grosshead, Bishop of Lincoln, which was called Malleus, and then Romanorum. Year 1250, Lord Peter de Cugnerijs, year 1329. To these we add, may add more, over Gulielmus, Ockam, Bongratius, Bar. Gomensis, Luitpoldus, Andreas, Laudensis, Vlricus, Hangenor, Treasurer of the Emperor, Jonas de GANDUNO, year 1330, mentioned in the extravaganzas, Andreas de Castro, Buridianus, Euda, Duke of Burgundy, who counseled the French king not to receive the newfound constitutions and extravagance of the Pope into his realm. Dante's Alighieri's in Italian, who wrote against the Pope, monks, and friars, and against the donation of Constantine, year 1330. Taulerus, a German preacher. Footnote Conradus, Hager, imprisoned for teaching against the Mass in 1339. The author of the book called Poenitentiarius, Asini, compiled about the year 1343. Michael Cesanas, a Grey Friar. Petrus de Corbaria, with Jones de Politico, mentioned extravaganzas and condemned by the Pope. Joannesde, Castiglione, with Francis, and then day, and then Arcatara, who were burned about the year of our Lord, 1322. Footnote. Joannas, and then Rochaylada, otherwise called Haybalus, with an other friar, martyred about the year 1346. Francescus Petrica, that's Petracha, who called Rome the whore of Babylon, etc., in the year 1350. Georgius, Arininensis, in the year 1350. Johannes de Rupa Siska, imprisoned for certain prophecies against the Pope in the year 1340. Gerhardus Ritter, who also wrote against monks and friars a book called Lacryma Ecclesiica, dated 1350. Godfrey de Godfridus de Fontanis, Guilelmus de Lanungo, Jonas Monicus Cardia, Armachanus, Nicholas Orem, preacher, the year 1364, Milizius, a Bohemian, which then preached that Antichrist was come and was excommunicated for the same year, 1366. Jacobus, Misnensis, footnote, Matthias, Parisiensis, a Bohemian born and writer against the Pope, year 1370. Joannes, Muntzeiger, rector of the Viniuresitie of Vlme, year 1384. Nihilus Arch of Thessalonia, Heterarch de Olata, Henricus de Hazia, etc. I do not recite the principal writers and preachers in those days, how many thousands were which never bowed their knee to Baal. That is known to God only. Of whom we find in the writings of one Brushius, the 37th, citizen of Magunta, were burned in the year 1390, who fell under the decree of the Waldenses, affirmed the Pope to be the great Antichrist. Also, Mabeus, Mabeus, recorded of 140, which in the province of Narbon were put to fire for not receiving the decrees of Rome, besides them that suffered at Paris to the number of 24 at one time in the year 1210, and the next year after were about 400 bent under the names of heretics. Also, besides those, a good number of Hermites and Englishmen, of whom mention is made in John Bacon, this to question one, who was committed for disputing in Paul's church against certain sacraments of the Church of Rome in 1306. To descend now somewhat lower in drawing out the descent of the church, what the multitude here comes of faithful witnesses in the time of John Wycliffe, as Aucliffe, Wycliffe in 1376, W. Thorpe White, Purvey, Patchell, Payne, Gower, Chancer, Gascoyne, Willim, William, Swinderby, Walter Brugg, Roger Dexter, William Saltry, about the year 1400, John Badby, in year 1410, Nicholas Tyler, Rich, Wagstaff, Mitch, Scriuener, William Smith, John Henry, W. Parchmanmore, Roger Goldsmith, with an A-N-C-R-E-S-S-E called A-M-A-T-H-I-L-D-E in the city of L-E-I-C-E-S-T-E-R. Lord Cobham, Sir Roger Ack McKnight, John Beverly Preacher, John Heiss, H-I-E-R-O-M-E of Prague, schoolmaster with a number of faithful bohemians, and Thaborites, not to be told with whom I might also adjoin Laurentius, Valla, and Joannes, Picus, a learned earl of Mirandula. But what I do, I stand upon recites of names which almost are infinite. Wherefore, if any be so far beguiled in his opinion to think the doctrines of the Church of Rome, as it now stands, to be of such antiquity, and that if the same was never imputed before the time of Luther and Zwinglius, now of late, let him read these histories, or if he think the said histories now to be of sufficient credit to alter his persuasion, let him pursue the acts and statutes of parliaments passed in this realm of ancient times, and therein consider and confer the course of times, where he may find and read An period, five period, Regis, Richard I, two, in the year of our Lord 1380, of an evil number, which there be called evil persons, going about from town to town, to freeze gowns preaching unto the people, etc., which preachers, although the words of the stato do term there to be disassembling persons, preaching dire sermons contrary heresies and notorious errors to the embellishment of the Christian faith and Holy Church, etc., as the words do there pretend, notwithstanding every true Christian reader may conceive of those preachers to teach no other doctrine than now they hear their own preacher in the pulpits preach against the Bishop of Rome and the corrupt heresies of the Church. Furthermore, ye shall find likewise in the statutes annus 2, Henry 4, cap 15, in the year of our Lord, 1402, and other like company of good preachers and faithful defenders of the true doctrine against blind heresy and error, whom, about the words of the statute, there, through corruption of that time, do falsely term to be false and pursuer Christians, under dissembled holiness, teaching in those days, openly and privately, new doctrine and heretical opinions contrary to the faith and the determination of Holy Church, etc. Yet, notwithstanding, whosoever readeth histories and conferreth the order and descent of time shall understand these to be no false teachers, but faithful witnesses of the truth, not teaching any new doctrine contrary to the determination of Holy Church, but rather should find that church to be unholy, which they preached against, teaching rather itself heretical opinions contrary both to the antiquity and validity of Christians' true Catholic Church. Of the like number also, or greater, of like true faithful followers and favors of God's holy word, we find in the year of our Lord, 1422, specified in letter sent from Henry Chichesley, Archbishop of Canterbury, to Pope Martin V, in the fifth year of his popedom, where mention is made of so many here in England infected, as he said, with the heresy of Wycliffe and Huss, that without force of an army they could not be suppressed, etc. Whereupon the Pope sent two cardinals to the Archbishop to cause a tenth to be gathered of all spiritual and religious men, and the money be laid in the chamber apostolic, and if they were not sufficed, the residue be made up by chalice, candlesticks, and other implements of the church, etc. They shall need then any more witness to prove this matter, when you see so many years ago whole armies and multitudes thus standing against the Pope, who, though they be termed here for heretics and schismatics, yet in that, when they are called heresies, served they the living Lord within the ark of his true, spiritual, and visible church. And where is the frivolous brag of the papists, which make so much of their painted cheese and wood needle, needs bear us down, that the government of the Church of Rome, which now is, hath been of such an old standing time out of mind, even from the primitive antiquities, and that never was any other church distributable here in earth for men to follow, besides the said only Catholic Mother Church of Rome, when, as we have sufficiently proved before, by the continual descent of the church till that present time, that the said church, as the doctrine which is now reformed, is no new begun matter, but even the old continued church by the providence and promise of Christ still standing, which albeit it hath been of late years represented by the tyranny of Roman bishops more than before, yet notwithstanding it was never so oppressed, but God hath ever maintained in it the true of his gospel against heresies and errors of the Church of Rome, as in this history more at time is to be seen. Let us now proceed further as we began, deducing this descent of the Church unto the 1501 year, in which year the Lord began to show in the parts of Germany wonderful tokens and bloody marks of his passion, as the bloody cross, his nails, spears, and crown of thorns, which fell from heaven upon the garments and capes of men and rockets of women, as you may further read in this book, page 816. By the which tokens Almighty God, no doubt, pre-signified with grievous afflictions and bloody persecutions should then begin to ensue upon his church for his gospel's sake, according as in this history is described. Wherein is this to be seen, what Christian blood hath been spilt, what persecutions raised, what tyrants they exercised, what torments devised, what treachery used against the poor flock in the Church of Christ, in such sort as seen Christian's time greater hath not been seen. By revelation of years, we are come from the time of 1501 to that year now present, 1570, by which the full 70 years of Babylonical captivity draw now well on to an end, if we count from the first appearance of these bloody marks above mentioned, or if we reckon from the beginning of Luther and his persecution, then lacketh yet 16 years. Now, what the Lord will do with this wicked world, or what rest he will give to his church after this long sorrows, he is our Father in heaven. His will be done on earth as seems best to his divine majesty. In the meantime, let us, for our parties, with all patient obediency, wait upon his gracious leisure and glorify his holy name and edify one another with all humility. And if there can be an end of our disputing and contending one against another, yet let there be a moderation in our affection, for as much as is the good will of God that Satan thus should be let loose amongst us for a short time, yet let us strive in the mean while that what we do can do to amend the malice of the time with mutual humility, that they that be in error let them not disdain to learn, they which have greater talents of knowledge committed, instructed in simplicity, because that is simple. No man liveth in that commonwealth where nothing is amiss, but yet because God hath so placed an Englishman here in one commonwealth, also in one church, as in one ship together, let us not mangle or divide the ship, which being divided perishes, but every man serve in his order with diligence wherein he is called, that they that sight at the helm keep well the point of the needle to know how the ship goeth and whether it should. Whatsoever weather betideth, the needle well touched with the stone of God's word will never fail, nor false. Should in labor or start for no tempest, but do what they can to keep from the rocks. Likewise, they which be in the inferior rooms, take heed that move no sedition, no disturbance against the rowers and mariners, no storm so dangerous to a ship on the sea as is discord and disorder in a real public. But what countries and nations, what kingdoms and emperors, what cities, towns, and houses discord hath dissolved in stories is manifest. I need not spend time in relishing examples. The Lord of peace, who hath power both of land and sea, reach forth his merciful hand to help them up that sink, to keep them up that stand, to still those winds and scurrying seas of discord and contention among us, that we, professing one Christ, may in one unity of doctrine gather ourselves into one ark of the true church to the joyful port of our desired landing place by his heavenly grace, to whom both in heaven and in earth be all power and glory with his Father and the Holy Spirit forever. Amen.